You may be seated. The sermon this morning is coming from John chapter 16, verses 7 through 14. We'll start the reading at verse 1, however. John 16, starting with verse 1. John chapter 16. These things I have spoken to you, so that you may be kept from stumbling. They will make you outcasts from the synagogue. But an hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think that he is offering service to God. These things they will do because they have not known the Father or me. But these things I have spoken to you, so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you of them. These things I did not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. And none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of Mine and will disclose it to you. Pray with me. God, our God, help us now as we seek your face. Help us to know the weight of this moment as we approach you and as we ask you to do a great work in our hearts. Move in us and change us, that you will be glorified. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know if you've ever tried to work with someone who is heavily self-medicated, or to work with someone who's drunk. And as you come to them and as you try to deal with them in the circumstances of their life, they have no idea that they need help. They have no idea of the trouble and the turmoil that they are in. I have dealt with people who were so heavily medicated, they had no sense of their own sin whatsoever. And whatever they could justify in their own mind, they would do. And they would have excuses, and they would have reasons for it. Well, as we look at our own lives, I'm calling on you now to see yourself and to see, are you self-medicated? Are you filling your life with aimless distraction? Are you filling your life with food and gluttony? Are you filling your life with movies and television, or maybe even simply drugs? Because what I'm bringing you now is to fulfill a need in your life, but it's very, very likely that you have no sense whatsoever of this need. You may feel comfortable, or imagine that you're comfortable. You may feel fulfilled, or you may feel satisfied, but deep down in your heart, you know that there's this hole, or that there's this longing. You know that there is this need. See, Jesus here is talking to the apostles, and we can have this image of grown men standing there, utterly crushed in spirit, broken in spirit. I would expect to see tears coming from these men's eyes. Because they're being told that what has been your comfort, what has been your joy, is about to be taken away. You won't have me in your presence anymore. And by the way, everyone's going to start trying to kill you. See you later. We look at our lives and we don't have anything similar to that in our life. We'll go up after this meal. Nobody's going to be hungry this afternoon. In fact, we'll probably be the opposite, most of us. Tonight, we'll have roofs over our heads. Tonight, no one's going to break into our houses and try to kill us. Tonight, none of us will have any absence of any medication that we could want or need, probably in the form of aimless distraction and food. There will be no hurt that we don't have a cover for. No sorrow that we can't distract ourselves from. Well, I was in a church setting one time, and a pastor, all of a sudden, out of the blue, suggested a week-long fast from television, and it was almost as if all the air was sucked out of the room. Because in the culture that we were in, that was it. Television was it. What if you were commanded by your session to give up your telephone for a week? How terrible would that be? How frightening would that idea be for many of us? Imagine being without a phone where we could call someone at any instant. I can tell my kids stories about being broken down late at night on a country road, and the thought is, well, why didn't you just call somebody? Guys, you couldn't. You couldn't. You didn't have a cell phone. Nobody did. There's all these things that nobody ever had, but now we have them, and it's as if Satan has had this great factory for just developing distractions to keep us away from Christ and distract us from our real needs, our real hurts, our real sorrows. And I'm actually tempted at this point for us just to break down and say, okay, where were you expecting to find any joy or comfort this week? And we could have a list from our phones, from our apps, from our food, from our meetings, and say, okay, let's take a week and fast from everything but bread and water, from our cell phones, from our computers, and let's come back next week and have this sermon. And let's see if we have any sense of need whatsoever at that point. Because right now I feel as if I might be setting up this beautiful buffet of truth, and we're coming in and we're already stuffed. We don't have a sense at all that we need the Holy Spirit. That there's this amazing person who's been called a helper, a counselor, an advocate, and we don't know that we need him. We think, I'll watch Netflix instead. I'll pull out my favorite movie that I've seen 15 times, 20 times, 30 times. I'll watch it instead. You know, I'll just watch a ball game. I don't need the Holy Ghost. Do you see where we are? Do you see where we are? It's no wonder that the church is weak in the United States of America. It's no wonder that we're weak in our own households. It's no wonder that we're weak in our own lives. Because we're sedated. We're drugged. And we do it to ourselves. So I am pleading with you. I am pleading with you to identify these drugs in your life and kill them.
take a week. Take a week and give up your phone apps. Take a week. Give up your Facebook. Take a week. Give up your fast food. Take a week. Don't eat anything but what you need. And plead. Plead. For Christ really to show you your need. Plead with Him to give you this helper. Now the call, and boy, I really feel like if I wasn't on vacation next week, I would just pray and we'd be done right now. The call is for you to seek this fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And that's a scary thing. The reality is, it's a scary thing. He is a scary person. You know how there's people that you just avoid because you don't want to hear what they have to say, even though it's true? You'd rather not be around them. You'd rather not hear what's coming next. I think we avoid the Holy Spirit because we don't want to know. We don't want to know what He has to say. We don't want to be told to submit to our husbands. We don't want to be told to really lay down our lives for our wives. We don't want to be told to honor our father and mother. We don't want to be told to give up aimless distraction. We don't want to be told to spend hours on our knees in prayer. Is that a crazy idea? Is it a crazy idea to spend hours on your knees in prayer? It's not a crazy idea to sit on a couch and watch hours of TV. Why on earth would it be a crazy idea to spend hours in prayer? I've seen what that does to people. I had a great-grandmother. In the foot of her bed, the carpet was worn out from her knees being there and her feet moving back and forth as she was praying. And I saw beauty. Real beauty. Ladies, I wonder how much more beautiful your hearts would be. And you would be if all the attention that you put into your hair and makeup and clothes was put into your heart. Guys, I wonder how strong we would be if any of the attention that we give to any muscle or strength was put into our hearts. And God tells us here that the Holy Spirit comes. When I looked up this word, and at first I was frustrated over the King James translation because it calls Him Comforter, and I couldn't find a reason to call Him Comforter. And I got the wrong idea with Comforter. I think of a nice big blanket, you know. I think of a quilt, you know. And I thought of the Holy Spirit, and I said, oh, He's a nice quilt. You know, He's cozy. You know, or I think of a fuzzy kitten, a really anything squishy and soft and nice, you know, is what the word comforter has done for me. But as I looked up the word and as I studied further, another idea is an advocate. And then I was going to talk to you about an advocate. Well, how many of us even have the sense that we need an advocate? Some places they translate it counselor. And we might think of, oh, then we go into an office and we would recline on a leather couch and we would have our counselor and he would give us comfy things. It's not that kind of counselor. It's more like a counselor like a lawyer. Do we have the sense that we live with a need for a lawyer? Well, if you've ever been in trouble with the law or if you've ever been sued, you've had the sense that you need a lawyer. But if you boil this word down, and you take it down to the bare basic, it means one called alongside. One called alongside. And if that's sounding pretty good to you right now, I'm hopeful that He's doing a work on you right now. That you actually have a need for someone called alongside you. Now this work that He does in us, this work that He does, it's not a comfy blanket work that He does on us. But it's an equipping He does, preparing you for battle, preparing you for war, preparing you for the things that we face in this world. Jesus was speaking in terms here. He's telling them, look, everybody's going to try to kill you. And they're going to think that they're doing it for God. There's not going to be rationalizing with these people. There's not going to be debating with you. They're going to bust into your house and they're going to drag you out and they're going to throw you into prison. They're going to kick you out of church. It's going to be a mess. But I'm giving you one who will come alongside you and tell you everything that I need to give you. And this is what you need. He said it to the apostles, and I'm saying it to you. This is what you need. You look at your life and you see your failures like David. You look at your life and you see your weaknesses, or you don't, because you're so heavily medicated. But this is what you need. This is what we need. This is what our households need. Our families need. This is what our church needs. A real understanding of who the Holy Spirit is and the work that He does. Now, our first step here, we look at verse 7. But I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. The idea of Jesus speaking to His apostles, they're with Him. John gets to hang out with Him. John leans on Him when they're at meals. He loves Him and enjoys Him so much. He says, I'm going, and this is good news for you. I am leaving. I am going where you will not see me, but this is good news for you guys. That means, and the reality of this is, you are better off than the apostles were at any point when Jesus was present. They were in a raging storm, and Jesus was there and turns to the sea and says, quiet! And it stopped. You are better off now. Jesus could grab a paralytic and stand him up and say, your sins are forgiven. And you are better off now as the Holy Spirit has been given to you. So why aren't we living with a sense of power? And you know, let me take back the why aren't we and ask yourself, why am I not living with a sense of power? Why on earth do I feel weak? Why do I feel as if I can't cut it and I can't make it? And how much of this then is tied to you're not seeing your need because of your self-medicating? Enjoy the advantage of the Holy Spirit. Our next step is think of the Holy Spirit as your advocate. Verse 7 again. But I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, and that's the word I was referring to, Helper, Comforter, Advocate, will not come to you. But if I go away, I will send Him to you. In John 14:26, it says, "But the Helper," that's the same word, "the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." Now, and there is a great work that is done for us in having everything that we need in Scripture to know what we actually need. So we look at this advocate, this one who comes alongside us, this one who comes alongside us in the fight of life. I hope you see your life in that context. It's a fight. You're at war. You're at war with your own mind. You're at war with the old man. You're at war with fleshly desires. You're at war with the distractions of the world. And if you're not living like that, you're getting beat up and killed. You're coasting through. You know, the Christian life is never compared to a lazy river, but a battle. A fight, a press upward, a race. And if you don't have that sense, if you're not living in that sense, you're missing it somehow. And I dare say that this is evidence that you are medicated and not seeing your need. Now we look at the work of the Holy Spirit now with verse 8. "And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment." Sin and righteousness and judgment. Is this an idea, or are these ideas that are working in your life? Sin and righteousness and judgment. Sin and righteousness and judgment. Is that what you hear, or is that what you face? Is that the meditation of your heart? If not, what is? You know, you have a meditation. You do. You've got a few of them. Go ahead and learn them. Go ahead and see what they are. And see how they line up with the reality of the Christian life. The work of the Holy Spirit concerning conviction for sin and righteousness and judgment. Now, we see another work of the Spirit here. And we look at verse 9 for this. This is our fourth move. "Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me." And so we look and we see a world that needs the work of the Holy Spirit to convict of sin and judgment and righteousness. This is a coming to the place of salvation. And this concrete foundation, this rock bed foundation, is the gospel. The gospel for our lives, the good news for your life, that these distractions be taken away, that we see the reality and the truth of life, so that we can follow and love and obey and announce reality with the help of the Holy Spirit. So how about in our fellowship time today, we talk about our medications. The drugs that we use to numb ourselves and distract ourselves. And I challenge you for a fast. These things that most of us, I hope, these are legal things, you know, and are lawful in common settings. But things distracting you from Christ, distracting you from your needs, and that in your place of need, you cry out to God. You cry out for His help to fill you and to show you a real relationship with Him and with His Spirit. Let's work on living a life with this Comforter that has been graciously given to us by Jesus Christ. Let's pray. God, our God, help us. Help us, we need you. It's a scary thought to give up the distractions that we've been clinging to. But give us the heart and the will to do it and the conviction to do it. That you will be glorified as we see our need and we move towards lives of power in your Holy Spirit. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our next psalm is Psalm